League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Oh, happy Tuesday, everybody.
Sup?
We're laughing about the Cat Daddy promo.
Do you think I turn off half the audience?
You turn off half the women.
Oh.
We're dog people.
See, that's just unfortunate.
I mean,
cats are easy. They're so easy.
They are easy.
And yet people hate.
Yeah, well, we'll find out about easy. Paul has a couple of dates lined up, so we'll talk about that later in the show. We are closer to what is going to be an intense week.
Right.
Month, possibly, for hashtag Watson Watch, everything happening with Deshaun Watson, as we're a week away from depositions involving some of these cases, allegations, of course, of sexual misconduct, which I'm sure you all know about. So we're about exactly a week away. It's February 22nd. When all of this began with Deshaun Watson, if you would have told me that there were no settlements by now, I would have told you you were crazy.
And yet there are none.
There are none.
And that we have gotten to this point, it still leaves us in a spot where we're completely in the dark as far as where he's going to end up. And there are definitely some potential teams that we've heard about. I thought it was interesting, Vanessa, to hear leading up to the Super Bowl broadcast, another name that I really didn't think about get thrown into the mix. They had a bunch of NFL Network reporters who were all like, hey, here's the hot gossip that we got in the
NFL circles.
Wow,
you sound just like him.
Yeah, and I know. I mean, I try. And there was an interesting thing that was brought up by Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network about some of the teams that might be interested in Watson. Listen for the first team that he lists.
Rich, Joe Burrow has been impressive, not just in the baller outfits that he wears, but also in his recovery from ACL, MCL, and PCL surgery. And the fact that he was on the field week one is impressive. But it's fair to say, guys, he was not himself. I talked to Dr. Neil Eletrash, who performed the surgery on Burrow. He said only in November and December did the athleticism and aggressiveness start to look like the Burrow that we now all know and love. And the reality is his stats have been so much better the second half of the season compared to the first half of the season. As Eletros told me, there is a new aggressiveness in Burrow that we're going to see today.
Ian, the entire football world wondering what
Here's
was up with Kyler Murray scrubbing the Cardinals from his Instagram account
Get
the
there.
Other day.
Don't
the
worry.
Team not quite sure of themselves. They haven't had that big picture conversation with him since they had their end of season meetings. But I do know they're looking for Murray to take a step forward in a number of areas. We're talking about maturity, body
Here
language
comes.
On the sideline, having a bigger
I mean, I know.
With his
Listen,
teammates,
this is
and
my
leadership.
Own fault.
Case in point,
but we're getting there.
The playoff game here, a minute left, the game had been decided. Backup Colt McCoy encouraged Murray to finish the game with his teammates. A banged up Murray said, no, that's it, I'm done. So I know a lot of Cardinals folks were not happy with that one.
Wow, we're getting As forward.
We really are. Though, I mean,
really
we're all the quarterback
say, Nothing has changed regarding our opinion in high regard.
This is what happens when you don't know how to edit audio.
Keep an eye on the contract, though, Tom. He's eligible now.
Here it comes.
Mike, we talked earlier about the Bucs keeping the door open for Tom Brady, but also exploring potential trades for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. They're not going to be alone. Expect the Broncos to explore every avenue to fix their quarterback spot. Expect the Panthers to be in it. Again, they were in on Deshaun Watson at the trade deadline. The Saints, Commanders, that quarterback trade market could be very hot, Ian.
I was surprised to hear the Bucs name mentioned. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a team that I did not think about at all as potentially deciding to trade for Deshaun Watson. But that is a team that is picking 27th overall in this year's coming draft. Not exactly the sexiest first-round pick to be potentially acquired. Ultimately, it does feel like it's between some of those teams listed, and the Denver Broncos have the most to offer because they have two second-round picks and they have two third-round picks this coming year, and I want as many draft picks as possible as I can right now. Thought it was interesting, though, to hear the Bucs name, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of other names potentially interested. But really, whatever happens at that deposition could completely submarine this entire process of trying to trade Deshaun Watson and get really fair value for what he is.
So if you're the Bucks and you had every single starter return this year, because they did, and you know that obviously your quarterback is gone, you're going to want somebody with experience. Now, they have Kyle Trask, Manville alum, former Florida Gator, a local kid.
Chomp chomp.
Yeah, yeah, great guy.
But
who's backup? But, you know, they might want to grow their own for a backup, but for somebody that's leading the team, they're going to want somebody with experience. And who has experience and who is consistent and who still is in their prime, we are putting legal issues aside right now, is Deshaun Watson.
Right. He's got all of that and more. And you match him up with a hopefully healthy Chris Godwin next year, coming back from that injury, a Mike Evans as well. Bruce Arians is still going to be there, so you know that that's a team that's going to love to push the football down the field. I'm sure that Watson would actually say, hey, I will waive my no-trade clause for this. But that's the big problem, because you still have to take a look at that side of things as well. Watson does have a little bit of power, even though he is creepy and at the very best.
When you look at the Deshaun Watson situation, again, regardless of how you feel about it, a no-trade clause, meaning it doesn't matter if the Bucs want him and if Nick Caserio can work out a deal. If he doesn't want to go to Tampa Bay, he ain't going to Tampa Bay.
He's got to go to want to go to Tampa Bay, though. Come on, Tampa Bay rules.
He would most likely want to, but the point is, the national Tampa media, Bay. They often forget that he has a no-trade clause.
Right.
So Watson has this no-trade clause. He has the civil suits. He has the suits that have been filed with HPD. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, Lisa Friel, former chief sex crimes prosecutor in Manhattan, is investigating the entire thing for the NFL. So the Deshaun Watson situation remains complicated, convoluted, but I do think as depositions begin, again, February 22nd, a week from today, we're going to have more answers soon.
You're in a new ballgame now, Vanessa, because you were covering this on the TV side of things every single day. What you're about to find out, and I know a lot of listeners know this already, is that talking about the same topic over and over again for months on end is really difficult. But imagine you're going to do it for the second straight offseason. I mean, that is what's happening with hashtag Watson Watch, and I decided that, you know, it's going to basically be like a really crappy sequel, which you see from time to time.
Yeah, often.
Right.
Often.
I mean, most sequels outside of Terminator 2, outside of Empire Strikes Back, outside of Lethal Weapon 2, most of them don't tend to live up to its predecessor. But anyway, here's a trailer for Watson Watch 2022.
Last offseason, one man wanted out of town.
We're about to witness the biggest trade in NFL history. There's never, ever been a commodity like this in the NFL.
And this offseason, that man still wants out of town. Except he's really creepy now.
Why y'all always filming me every day?
It's Watson Watch 2. We're doing this again.
It's the same.
Rated R.
For those who don't know, that was Deshaun Watson walking off the field. Couldn't hear it very well, but what he says there is, man, why are all these cameras here? It's the same bleep every single day. Yes, we know. We know. We really know. What was it like covering this on an every single day basis?
Yeah, I mean, on the TV side, it depends on what angle you're taking. If you're a journalist, if you're doing a lot of writing, then you're getting into the legal things. If you're on TV, you're kind of summing everything up short within, you know, a 1 minute to 2 minute period of time. But I did like the trailer.
Thank you.
It should be noted that you made that very quickly, which I was actually impressed by.
Well, thank you very much. And this is what happens when you're a giant nerd and you love movie trailers and also like to talk like movie voice guy.
You do talk like movie voice guy. All right, when we look at the Bucks, the Tampa Bay Bucks, as a place that Deshaun Watson could possibly land, but there's a lot of other, as you look at the quote-unquote cliche quarterback carousel,
yeah,
and how things are going to move, there are some other teams that we think could possibly have some feelers out for Watson.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, the Broncos are number one, and I think it's really interesting to note that in Las Vegas, one of the teams that's really high up there as far as odds to win the Super Bowl next season, and I feel like they're not too far away from the Green Bay Packers. I think it's something like 13-1, 14-1. The Denver Broncos are up there. I mean, I feel like everyone's operating under the assumption that this offseason the Broncos are going to get a great quarterback. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers, which does seem a little bit less likely with what we're hearing recently. The Packers are supposedly willing to offer Rodgers a contract that would make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL on an annual basis over the next couple of years. And he has been playing nice in the media when talking about the Green Bay Packers, an organization he said that doesn't care about people.
Yeah, he was dramatic.
Right. There's other situations too, though. You mentioned the Bucks. The Bucks is a team that Watson would probably waive his no-trade clause for. But the Washington Commanders, I mean, shoot, we don't even know if Dan Snyder's going to be the owner of that team that much longer. We'll get to that later on in the show. Also, the Carolina Panthers, I don't know if you're going to see Matt Rhule as head coach after this coming season. I'm surprised, in fact, that he's still there. So even if that's sort of a homecoming of sorts for Deshaun Watson to come back to Charlotte, to be near all of those people that rooted for him at Clemson, I'm not sure that that's a situation you really want to walk into, because next year is probably going to be a bloody disaster.
The Denver Broncos are intriguing to me as a landing spot for Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Not only because of, okay, well, the weapons he would have, all of that, but this is a team that's going to be kind of starting fresh. So Nathaniel Hackett, head coach, right?
Yep.
The owner is most likely going to be, it seems like, Byron Allen, mm-hmm. who has put in a bid for the team. And I saw him, you know, walking around at the commissioner's dinner, Super Bowl week, being really involved.
Does he look like he knows what he's doing?
Talking. Well, does anybody look like they know what they're doing when they start?
Mark Davis certainly still doesn't know what he's doing based off of his haircut.
I also talked to Mark Davis, and he said I had a nice smile. So I like Mark Davis.
He bought you off.
Yeah,
he bought you off with a compliment. Listen, you have to tell him about his hair.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Okay, I like the hair on Mark Davis.
What is wrong with you? He looks like Tweedledee.
It's not about liking it. It's about owning who you are. He is a billionaire. He owns a team. And you know what he says to people?
He flies for that haircut.
F you. I'm going to have a bowl haircut, and I'm going to wear jeans, and I'm an owner, and I don't care.
He needs an intervention. I will hook him up with my hairstylist, Annie, who has done a fantastic job with my hair, because I used to look like an anime cartoon. It was spiky all over the place, and I was like Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z. I know you don't know that reference at all. Oh, making all sorts of weird noises. I had it all over the place. Mark Davis needs help.
Mark Davis. All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about Deshaun Watson, but other quarterback drama as of this morning. It's not just about Matt Stafford and should he wear a gold jacket. It's about what one of the football greats is saying about him. That's coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money.
Last
Visit HRNP.net today. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back. We overreact about everything in sports nowadays, especially mm-hmm. with social media. It's so much fun. And apparently Richard Sherman is not happy about it. Now, here's the thing. I actually understand where he's coming from on this, and I want people to chime in on the text line and the Twitch line and the everything line. After the Super Bowl, the conversations began. Should Matt Stafford be eligible for the Hall of Fame when the time comes? Is he going to be fitted for a gold jacket? Should we see him in a gold jacket? Will we see the bust in Canton? You know all the cliches, right? Richard Sherman doesn't think so. He kind of sounded off on Twitter, and of course he has a podcast. And this is just part of what he said. Quote, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast, but the Hall of Fame bar is incredibly low now. Again, this is Richard Sherman. It's like a participation trophy. No all-decade team. No all-pro. No MVP. One Pro Bowl. Not even MVP of the Super Bowl. Never considered the best in any year he played. At least Matt Ryan has an MVP. He did nothing spectacular. It's really a microcosm of his career. Did good, not great. Made a few wow passes. Made a few facepalm passes. Aaron Donald and Vaughn are the two Hall of Famers he should thank. There is no measuring stick that makes Stafford a Hall of Famer other than playing in the most passer-happy decade in NFL history. Inflated numbers make every quarterback that starts 10-plus years a Hall of Famer. He gets his day, brother, but just throwing around Hall of Fame like that irks me. So many had to be the most dominant to even make it. Do you agree with Richard Sherman?
Thank you, Richard Sherman. Yes, I totally agree with him. The thing that he said early on, he's so right about. When has Matt Stafford legitimately been considered one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL? You could blame it on his surrounding environment in Detroit all you want. And I'm sure that was a large factor in it. Does have a lot of fourth quarter comebacks over the course of his career. And at the end of his career, statistically, he's going to be up there with just about everyone. but then he is going to be leapfrogged by the next generation of quarterbacks. Because Sherman is also right about this. Ever since Bill Polian started whining about the rules after the Colts lost to the Patriots in the 2003-2004 playoffs and the five-yard contact rule started to be enforced, it has become a lot easier to throw for passing yards. And you've seen the numbers just dramatically change over the last 20. You have seen passing yards, 4,000-yard seasons are no longer an anomaly. 5,000-yard seasons, we saw Tom Brady do, what, almost 5,500 yards this past season. Touchdown passes are up. Interceptions are down. It's a lot easier to make things happen. And if we look at Matt Stafford's performance, statistically in the fourth quarter, he played very well. However, if you look at the entirety of that game, those interceptions were both on him. The first one more so, the second one, yes. Ooh, it was a punt. No, it was a bad throw. The second one, he threw it too low. I mean, if he throws it a little bit higher, that's a catch that poor wide receiver who is in the game because Odell Beckham Jr. is hurt, he makes that catch. Stafford is a good to very good quarterback. And you can remember a quarterback as good to very good, but should just because he won a Super Bowl mean that he makes it in to the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Does that mean that Phil Simms, does that mean that Joe Theismann, that Doug Williams, yeah, that Jeff Hostetler, that Mark Rypien, that all sorts of other quarterbacks who have won it once, Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, that those guys are supposed to make it in to the Hall of Fame too? He's had a lot of great statistics, but how about we just look at him as a very good quarterback that's like Tony Romo with a ring? I don't think Roma would have been a Hall of Famer if he won a Super Bowl either.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think he should have been, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
And,
right.
I don't think he should have been either. But if Tony Romo had won a ring with his charisma and his outgoing personality or, and the fact that he's a broadcaster and the fact he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Or the fact that he's a Dallas Cowboy.
Right,
so just like Eli Manning is getting into, if Eli Manning
America's
played
team.
For not the New York Giants, I don't think Eli Manning would be getting talked about as a Hall of Famer the way that he is. Because for the most part, Eli Manning, same kind of story as Matt Stafford. A good to very good quarterback at times, but
totally a great comparison.
Right. Two Super Bowl victories. Were those two Super Bowl victories on him? I mean, he made two incredible throws in them that are going to be remembered all time. You can put those throws in the Hall of Fame. I'm game for that. But are we going to put Eli Manning in there as well? I think the bar is getting a lot lower for quarterbacks. And as someone who's a little snobbish with quarterbacks, and you are too. I mean, yeah. I grew up watching Tom Brady. You grew up watching Peyton Manning. Come on. How about we really make sure that the best quarterbacks are making it into the Hall of Fame? Now, if Matt Stafford wins another Super Bowl, if Matt Stafford has a couple of awesome years with the Los Angeles Rams going forward, that's a totally different story. That'll prove that, okay, it was the supporting cast around him in Detroit. But it's been 1 year in L.A. Let's see if he can get back there again. Let's see if he can maybe have the kind of career that a Kurt Warner did, where he had a couple of good years with the Cardinals at the end, which is what got him into the Hall of Fame.
Eli Manning is a legitimate Hall of Famer to me because of two Super Bowls. Okay? Now, even if he had won one, he was going to get in the Hall of Fame anyway because his last name is Manning.
Yeah, I know.
And because he beat Tom Brady.
The Manning Mafia, they like to send goons to people's houses.
And he beat Tom Brady. I mean, so even if he had won one.
They stopped the undefeated season, and that is a landmark moment in NFL history, no matter how much I hated it. But the other problem is with him, I mean, how many other times did he get back? How many times were the Giants a pretty bad team? This is the number one overall pick that we're talking about. Compared to the expectations that were around Eli Manning, I think a lot of people thought, okay, he could be his brother. Or maybe not quite his brother, but close to it. And I've never gotten the vibe out of Eli Manning. I've never felt definitively that this is a top five quarterback in the game. I feel like we have to start there, and then you can add in all the numbers, and then you can add in all of the Super Bowl appearances. But I think if we're doing a draft of quarterbacks, I think Stafford's going anywhere from like 6th to 10th, and this is after Tom Brady retired. You know,
I never thought that Eli would be like his brother the second that he whined and cried when he got drafted. That's when I knew that he would probably never be Peyton Manning.
I'll say this about Eli, though. I feel like he has done a pretty good salvation of
his image for sure.
Public image. Right. Like, I think most people, even I, like kind of like Eli Manning now. Like there's something about him where he's not trying too hard like his brother seems to all the time. There's something about him which I think is endearing.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, Twitch, and the ESPN app. We are talking about Richard Sherman's comments saying Matt Stafford, hold the gold jacket as of right now. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, and I think that you bring up a good point about – he brought up a good point, excuse me, not that you're Richard Sherman, about
– I am on the flag football field.
Yeah. About just the different nuances of how we view the game now and how that might impact – the way that people view Matt Stafford getting into the Hall of Fame. Not that he's obviously in it yet, but
I think it's good that he mentioned the other Hall of Famers here too, because we you know, we're going to be talking about quarterbacks all offseason, both with Watson Watch, the quarterback carousel, Kyler Murray being a little diva, all sorts of different things. But the real Hall of Famers on that field are Aaron Donald, who walks away right now, Hall of Famer and one of the best defensive players to ever play the game. Like, I would, for a comparison, make that him winning this Super Bowl is a lot like when Reggie White finally won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. Reggie White was the minister of defense. He was the best defender in the NFL when he was playing for Philadelphia all those years. And then he goes to Green Bay, and it's this awesome team that Brett Favre's coming into his own as the three times in a row MVP. And he comes in, and I mean, you watch that Super Bowl between the Patriots and Packers, Super Bowl 31, and he killed Drew Bledsoe this all game long. This was a lot, to me, like, finally, he gets that crowning achievement. I think Cooper Kupp's well on his way to becoming a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no question.
The season he just had is incredible. And also, you know, well, Von Miller, too. Von Miller has...
Von Miller was Super Bowl MVP with the Broncos.
Right, and then he adds two more Super Bowl sacks. I think he's got 4.5 career Super Bowl sacks now or something like that, which is a ridiculous number. So, Sherman is right. He's listing the right guys. Maybe he could have included Cooper Kupp in there. Maybe he doesn't want to. I don't know.
Cooper Kupp for sure. Aaron Donald is a no-brainer, and Von Miller, in my opinion, is a no-brainer as well. Do you think Matt Stafford should be in the Hall of Fame conversation? I think you probably know where Paul and I both stand on that, as well as Richard Sherman. But make sure that you tweet us and let us know what you think. All right, coming up, a little edition of Are You In or Are You Out on the Super Bowl? And are NFL owners about to die? That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, the Twitch, the ESPN app.
The Twitter. At Gallant says at Sports Vanessa. We got a tweet as far as our conversation about one Matt Stafford in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Lamont tweets, fam. I like it when people say fam. Makes me feel hip. If Warren Moon is in the Hall of Fame, then Stafford should be sitting on a gold-plated throne in the Hall of Fame. But that's the problem. Like, the quarterback inclusion has, I think.
Totally.
And wide receivers as well. Like, there have just been a lot in both positions added. Yeah, Warren Moon, probably a Hall of Famer. I think that statistically, if you look at Warren Moon and you look at Matt Stafford, Warren Moon and Matt Stafford compare generations, I could see how you maybe make that argument. You also have the whole, you know, Warren Moon playing in the CFL for a little bit of time, so maybe there's a little bit of making up for him, the fact that he was stuck in the CFL at all and teams didn't decide that it wasn't going to work for him in the NFL.
Warren Moon is always going to be an interesting conversation because he was the first undrafted quarterback in the Hall of Fame, and he was the first black quarterback in the Hall of Fame. I do think there's an element of not only him coming from the old school and the standards being different than they are now with Matt Stafford, but the fact that there was a little bit, you could say, more off the field as far as where we were at as a country with Warren Moon, black quarterbacks and all of that. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying that there's probably an extra element, like Richard Sherman talking about how things have changed with the pass-heavy NFL. There are elements that change that you could say might affect who things should get in the Hall of Fame.
I get what you're saying there. I mean, he's the first black quarterback that had numbers, you know, like real legit numbers when he finally got his opportunity. But at the same time, okay, if we're doing a sports talk show and it's what, 1993,
right?
I mean, we're looking at that game against the Bills and we're like, this is the biggest choke job of all time. Warren Moon, choker. You know, like that's how conversation works these days. So I think that's a compelling argument as far as just, you know, comparisons. Unless Warren Moon's in and Stafford's in. I guess I'm like, can we stop letting everybody in? You know, this club is getting too packed. There are too many guys here. Okay. We need to balance out. We need to have a nice little balance of guys and gals. That's how these things work. Oh, wait, it's all quarterbacks in here? There's too many quarterbacks.
Right. No, I agree. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant of obviously a couple days after the Super Bowl and the conversations heating up as they always do about who should be in the Hall of Fame and people overreacting. We've been talking about Richard Sherman's comments for him saying that people need to pump the brakes on Matt Stafford. Paul, would you like to play a game?
Oh, I love games.
We're going to talk about are you in or are you out on Super Bowl topics. And it seems like every year we have people and social media brings up different elements of the Super Bowl, whether it's the halftime show, when the game begins, where the games are, etc. The commercials are obviously a topic of conversation. So everything not sports related, are you in or are you out? Number one, the Super Bowl should be on Saturday. Are you in or are you out?
Well, yeah, it should be on Saturday. Look, that we don't have the day off after the game, unless you are a small child living in Cincinnati, Ohio, is ridiculous. Okay? I mean, everyone, generally, is going to go have a good time, have a few drinks, hang out with friends, go to a Super Bowl party when this game happens. It's like the biggest random thing that people surround themselves with other people as far as sporting events that happen in the country. Like, randos watch this game. Non-psychotic sports right. people like ourselves, we're joined by people that are generally, you know, annoying to watch the game with. But everyone drinks. Everyone has a good time. I would love to have the day off afterwards. So, yes, they have 2 weeks to lead up to the game, too. So it's not like there's going to be like a short week or something like that.
I am also in on the Super Bowl being on a Saturday. All right. I was at the Super Bowl. L.A. was beautiful. SoFi was
You're so L.A.
unreal.
Now.
Yeah, I'm so
oh
L.A.
Oh, my God. L.A. was so great. The tacos. Oh, my God.
The influencers were awesome in L.A., by the way. I went to a couple of clubs and parties, and they all had the neon signs and the girls that were like,
oh, hey. I saw a picture of an influencer with a hot dog, and she was trying to get the right angle with the hot dog, and I was like, man, I hope no one photoshops this thing. But it was a long time that she spent, and I don't think she ever ate the hot dog.
Probably not.
Too much gluten.
Are you in or are you out? The Super Bowl, as I was walking around, it was a day game. I mean, yep. It was West Coast time. It was light outside. When they brought out Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg for halftime, it was still light outside, and people, you know, you can really see people's light up things. It was a little bit odd. Other than that, I liked the earlier start time on West Coast. So Super Bowls on West Coast time that start during the day are superior to all the way on the East Coast where it starts much later and is dark. Are you in or are you out?
Well, there is the danger. I mean, you know, yes, the West Coast can be beautiful, but there's like homeless and like riots and all that stuff. So, you know, you got to be a little bit nervous if you're going to go to the Super Bowl on the West Coast. It's definitely a different experience. However, yeah, I'm with it. After watching a Super Bowl in Seattle last year, I was like, oh, wow, the game's done. It's 5:30. I don't feel Sunday scaries right now because, you know, Super Bowl ends here. Game's done at, what, 9:30? And you're like, oh, crap, I've been hanging out with friends all night. Oh, no.
Well, you're from Boston. So didn't you grow up with the later Super Bowl times?
Right, I did, yeah. But, like, as an adult, it's either been Central Time or it's been Pacific Time. And Central Time is even late. You know, the game starts at either at 5:30. It is going to last a while. It's not going to be done until 9:40. And if I've had a beverage or two, I'm going to be like, oh, God, it's work tomorrow. So, once again, yes. Anything earlier or on Saturday, please, for the love of God, help us out. I mean, if the government is not going to do anything right. about anything, step in here and give us a holiday or just move the President's Day holiday to right after the Super Bowl or move the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend. Boom. Solved.
I think people would actually care about that more than most political issues.
Yeah.
Are you in or are you out? The commercials have gotten much worse and way less funny over the years. I will tell you I am in on this. I think they're terrible.
Yeah.
Most of them. Awful.
They were really going the nostalgia route on this year's Super Bowls. You got, I think, what? Austin Powers, how many people that are younger than us are even going to understand an Austin Powers right. reference? They had, I think, Larry David one. The Sopranos commercial was sick, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I went back and watched that one.
But outside of that, yeah, I wasn't paying attention during the commercials. And I don't think that there are that many people that are being truthful when they say, yeah, I watched the Super Bowl for the commercials, unless they're just like putting out some really lame icebreaker because they're trying to explain why they don't watch sports. Yeah, I watched the commercials. Yeah, sure you did.
All right, the last one. This year's halftime show was a top five halftime show ever. Are you in or are you out? I am all in on this. And full disclosure, I like all genres of music. So,
okay.
So Tom Petty's back in, I think, 2008 was amazing to me. Prince singing Purple Rain in the rain. And it's not just because the Colts won that Super Bowl. That's like unbelievable. I wasn't alive in 1993 when Michael Jackson did his moonwalk, but I'm told that that was incredible. And obviously you can go back and watch. So I am all in that this was one of the best five ever. Yes or no?
I didn't move. And generally, I also, for the halftime show, I generally don't care. I am sort
not
of like,
a halftime show guy.
Oh, no, no. I don't really care generally. I'm going to go and I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go get some more beverages. I'm going to go just decompress for a little bit. I have to watch it now because of my job, so I have to talk about it.
Oh, you have to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I have to watch it. You know, sometimes, I mean, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to watch the Super Bowl if you hate both teams
that
are in it.
Please tweet Paul Gallant says and destroy him for saying that.
But this halftime show, yeah, I mean, I like all of these musicians, and I'm musically challenged. Like, I'm an idiot. I didn't know that The Weeknd did any of those songs until I said, oh, wow, he does that song. Oh, wow, he does that song. Until last year. And they played that stupid-ass Blinding Lights song so many times building up to the Super Bowl that I didn't even want to hear The Weeknd. And I kind of was I was out on the halftime show already. Or Bruno Mars, when he did it that one time, there's that song where he sounds like a dolphin. You know that one?
And Bruno Mars never
sounds. He sounds like a dolphin. That. Sounds like a dolphin. Yeah, it's like
what
that song.
What are you
oh, you know what I'm talking about. Everyone knows what song I'm
no,
talking
I
about.
No, I don't. And I like Bruno Mars.
It kind of sounds like The Police. He's like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, yeah. That one, right? You get it now?
Yeah, you're talking about Locked Out of Heaven, but he doesn't sound like a dolphin.
He sounds like a dolphin when he goes, eh. Yeah, that's what I hear. I hear a dolphin. Sorry. I don't know. What am I supposed to hear? Am I supposed to look? Oh, wow. Look at sex symbol Bruno Mars. He's 5'2". Like,
you're
you know?
Supposed to enjoy not only the vocals, but the musicians and the entertainment. And my friend Bailey, who works in Cleveland, Bailey Burmaster, brought up a good point. This year's Super Bowl halftime show might not have been as performance based. It was more vocals, rapping, like you said, nostalgia, mm-hmm. to where Beyonce's in the past was about, and The Weeknd's was about the lights and all of that.
The Weeknd really tried hard with that halftime show. And I'll give him a lot of credit.
I actually wasn't a fan of his.
During the pandemic, with all the crap that was going on, that you were able to put something together like that. I mean, he tried, at the very least, to make it as big of a show as he could. Because it's essentially just him by himself. This is a lot easier. I mean, you have an ensemble act, even if, you know, 50 Cent's for some reason upside down and not wearing a shirt.
Wait, what do you mean? Well, hold on. What do you mean for some reason 50? Do you not know why 50 Cent was upside down?
No, I have no idea. Was he Spider-Man? I don't know. I'm musically challenged, guys. I wasn't allowed to watch MTV. You got to cut me some slack here.
You thought it was a tribute to Spider-Man?
I don't know. Sure, yeah.
No, 2003. His music video... In the club back in the early 2000s.
Oh, he was upside down in that.
Yeah, you can find me in the club.
Okay. Yeah, keep on singing. Keep on going. I mean, I'm embarrassed right now, so now you have to embarrass yourself so that I feel a little bit better.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Well, listen, Tyler. I mean, listen, this is I was legitimately not allowed to watch rap or any of that stuff. Blame Catherine Gallant, now Catherine McGran. That is my mother. I love her so much, but goodness gracious, I was not allowed to do any rap.
I grew up in a super Christian family and we couldn't either, but I found a way. See, let me tell you.
I didn't try hard enough. I mean, I did like download off of Kazaa and LimeWire and all those things, you know, illegally from time to time. But I mean, I liked all of those musicians. I recognized all of those musicians. And I thought the best part of the halftime show that wasn't seen on TV, someone caught right before they went on stage, Snoop Dogg. There's like a little camera shot of him. He was token up. So Snoop Dogg was high as balls up there.
He was, and he also crip walked. The NFL, I guess, the NFL told him that he couldn't wear a blue bandana for the Crips, and so instead he wore an entirely blue outfit and crip walked.
I also love how Eminem took a knee like 5 years after like anyone cared about that.
I actually didn't even notice that happened until after.
Right, it only became a thing because the NFL, like Streisand, affected themselves. Like if they had just let him do it, then no one would have talked about it. But then the next day, there was like a very like small like page 6 headline of like Eminem takes knee. It was against NFL.
Right. It was cool that Dr. Dre, with all seriousness, that Dr. Dre performed a halftime show like 2 miles from his childhood home in Compton. That's cool.
That's true too. But it was kind of weird to see him pretending to be like every single EDM DJ, where they're like making all these hand motions and stuff. Like, yeah, I'm mixing this down. I mean, I get he was trying to like show like, hey, remember when I was a producer?
He played the piano for the beginning of DRE.
He did. But I wasn't sure if that was actually him playing the piano.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little dubious of that.
Yeah. I guess it could have been lip-synced. Sung?
Lip-synced piano. Bing, 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 bing. He sang it like Bruno Mars making dolphin noises.
All right. That's our edition of Super Bowl. Are you in or are you out? Of course, you can get at us on the Twitter and the Twitch and let us know. I'm happy to educate you on the Intercollegiate.
Please do. Well, I know I'm lost. Like, I admit it. I'm just hopelessly lost. My friends will ask
Spider-Man.
I mean, yeah, it looked like Spider-Man. I don't know. Maybe he was going to make out with Mary J. Blige, like upside down. I don't know.
All right. Coming up and Gallant. Carlos Correa spotted with teammates over the weekend. Should Astros fans have any hope whatsoever that he could come back with the Stros? That's coming up.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back. Happy Tuesday. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You can get us on the app and on Twitch, the Twitch as well. So hope is a funny thing, and it's not something Houston sports fans have had a lot of over the last couple of years, except regarding the Astros. Not a lot of hope that Carlos Correa will stick around. It seems to have dwindled more and more as you look at the contracts that are coming out for guys in MLB. Would Jim Crane be willing to pay it? Would James Click even want to take that route? But over the weekend, while obviously the timelines and the news is convoluted by the Super Bowl, Carlos Correa made a public appearance.
He did.
He did not want to talk baseball, but he was with Alex Bregman and Lance McCullers at the UFC at Toyota Center. This was February 12th, so a couple days ago. Obviously, free agent shortstop, so not technically with the Astros per se anymore. But when he came up on the Jumbotron, people went nuts. This wasn't a weird outing. He and McCullers actually have a podcast about UFC. And he and Bregman and McCullers are all represented by Scott Boras. So they're other than the fact that they're teammates, this was not like, oh, they're out together to start rumors. Like, this is just guys hanging out. But naturally, when they pop up on the Jumbotron, people see the pictures, they start thinking, is there a chance?
And why wouldn't you? Because it's very clear that that's what Lance McCullers wants. It's very clear that that's what Alex Bregman wants. I think every part of this Houston Astros team wants the guy who is standing stoically, looking into the camera, talking trash to all of the whiny teams across baseball that chose to blame the Astros instead of their own shortcomings, specifically the New York Yankees, to a lesser extent, the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was the face of the shut up movement that was coming out of here, which I loved from afar.
Did love from afar, and you made people in Seattle very mad.
They got mad at me. I was like, wait, what? Carlos Correa is not Hitler, guys. Could you please relax? Like, I'm sorry he's staring at you and making you uncomfortable. And all you passive aggressive types up there. But he chose to take it head on, and then he delivered. Now, I think we wanted a little bit more from him against Atlanta, but I felt like in the 2020 playoffs, I thought that he was awesome. Like, this team didn't look like it was going to be able to make it. You know, they're under 500 going into the playoffs, and he carries them. Selfishly, I want him here, but I have to be pragmatic. I have to be realistic. And I'm being convinced otherwise by things I'm seeing. It's not just seeing those guys together at a UFC event. It's on Astros Reddit I saw. There was a picture that Correa posted where he's taking batting practice, and he's definitely wearing Astros pants. I think he was wearing an Astros shirt of sorts. And you see those things happen. A lot of these guys know what they're doing when they post things on social media.
They do.
Right? And now maybe he thought, oh, I'm going to create a little buzz for me in Houston, where clearly I do have a lot of fans by posting this. Because a lot of these guys, I think, just like to screw with everybody and have some fun. And good for them for doing it. But there's another part, too, where these guys are so careful. I mean, shoot, Garrett Cole was wearing a, like, essentially, like, MLB logo on his hat right after the Astros lost the World Series. I know, what a hesh.
That was incredible. We were all in the media scrum, and he walks out of his locker, and it's like, damn, it's over that quickly.
The logo was Boris's agent company.
Gotcha, okay.
Not
yeah.
MLB.
Okay, cool. Okay. So,
and it was his way of saying.
That made it worse.
Yeah, it was his way of saying, this is over.
should have been a picture of John Heyman, who covers baseball. John Heyman blocked me because I called him Scott Boras's errand boy. So I look at this, Vanessa, and I think to myself, I guess there's a chance, but I just don't see how it happens. Like, I think the starting price, we're talking at least $250 just to, like, $250 million.
Yes.
Sorry, that'd be great if it was $250, right? We could start the GoFundMe right now. $250 million to, at the very least, like, get Correa to say, like, hey, well, think about it. But, you know, you see all these contracts that are being given out recently. There's lots of $300 million deals. Mm-hmm. And those deals, you see the teams afterwards, the success that you would expect them to have. Outside of, like, Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw, you know, the teams that have given these guys these big contracts, maybe there's a little bit less time with in San Diego, Fernando Tatis, and with Francisco Lindor in New York. But the success hasn't really been there. I mean, Mike Trout what have the Angels done with the $300 million MVP Mike Trout?
I mean, totally.
They're under 500 every single year. So, you know, a guy that has played in just 391 games out of the 546 games the Astros could have played over the last four
Good
years.
Stat.
Like, that's, it's hard to rationalize that because you know that there's a guy who gets hurt a lot.
Carlos Correa, I talked to him after they lost the World Series.
Oh.
It was me and I think Christy Rican, a couple of Houston Cron people. Randy McAvoy was in that scrum as well. And he didn't want to be filmed. Excuse me. We talked about, and I asked him what his priority was. And he had said he wants to go somewhere where he and Daniela are happy. Now, that's a great answer. We obviously know he wants a big bag, too.
Yes.
He wants a big haul. But he's won a World Series. So, in your mind, does that make it almost a little bit... like, look, a lot of guys, whether you're talking about PJ Tucker, whether you're talking about guys that are towards the end of their career, they're going somewhere where they can win a championship, period. It's not about money. It's not about location, because they all have houses in California.
Yeah.
It's they want to win a championship. I don't know that that's Carlos Correa's mindset, because he's done it.
He has won a championship. But there is a sense, I think, with all of those players of unfinished business. And why not? I mean, you have been to the World Series three times. You have lost two of them. You have the entire baseball world still looking at you with a side eye, even though last year I think you proved, yeah, we were good. We were good all along. That was in a very overplayed story considering all the sign stealing that was going on. Did the Astros do it probably to a much more extreme degree than any other team? Absolutely. I'm not going to deny that. But I think everybody was doing it. I mean, just ask Lance McCullers about what was going on during Game 7 of the World Series against the Dodgers, where both teams were so paranoid of sign stealing that they kept on crossing signals. And you saw a bunch of wild pitches and all sorts of stuff like that early on in that game. Like, it was happening both ways. And you ask other players, like, I think baseball put the kibosh on any quotes that come out about sign stealing, because all of a sudden everyone just went quiet and you didn't really hear it from any players across the sport for a while, because I think they realized, oh yeah, this rabbit hole goes pretty deep. But I think that for Correa, the one thing I'm hoping for, and maybe I'm naive in thinking this, is that he looks at this situation and realizes, I'm on this team that is hated, and if I prove people wrong with this group, we will be looked at in a different way when our careers are said and done. But sometimes, you know, $300 million is enough to convince you that, yeah, not only am I going to walk away, I could potentially see myself on one of the teams that has been competing with me for these titles over the last couple of years, the Yankees or the Dodgers or some other team. Hopefully not the Detroit Tigers. I would feel bad for if he went to the Detroit Tigers. I'm curious to see how this plays out. And I'm not going to make any predictions either, because I do think it's very unlikely that he ends up being back here. But selfishly, I want him back, even though I know it's probably a bad idea to bring him back.
It's one of those things, too, financially, it's not a good idea, I don't think.
No.
But it's one of the reasons why I really wanted them to win that World Series against the Braves, not only for Dusty, so Dusty Baker could finally win one as a manager, but because it did feel, when you look at where the contracts are, when you look at where their salary is and their budget, it felt like it might be the last go-round and the chance for them to win one all together.
But things did change this offseason, because I wasn't sure Verlander was coming back.
Mm.
And that they got Verlander back was great news. Now, what Verlander is going to be this coming season, who knows? But, I mean, they made it to the World Series without him last year. And, you know, I know a lot of people are like, he could have been back in there. Whatever. I mean, wow, he's throwing 100 miles per hour. Well, he might have been throwing 100 miles per hour and the ball could have been going, like, straight up in the air. You know?
Right.
No one said anything about the accuracy of those
100
miles per
hour balls.
And we
never saw the video of him throwing that stimulated game, by the way.
Right.
We know that they say that he did.
They put it out there, and, I mean, yeah. Then
coming up on this episode of Dateline.
Right.
Am I right? All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Deshaun Watson scheduled Deshaun Watson scheduled to be deposed a week from today.
I thought you were going to say deported. I was like, whoa.
We're not.
Damn.
Absolutely not. Where we think he'll end up as Watson Watch continues next.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.